Hey there, ProSight small group leaders. Thank you for joining us for another Small Group Leaders podcast where we help you to prepare to lead your small groups. This is Pastor Billy here, and I'm joined by Chad Udani.
Hey, everyone.
Our campus minister, Pearl Highlands. He calls himself Coach's Assistant Coach.
The Assistant Coach
at Pearl Highlands. Highlands. And we're glad to have Chad here joining us. We're going to dive into our discussion today. But before we do that, I just want to thank all of you for joining us at our summit last Saturday. Those of you that made it, I know you were really encouraged and equipped by Dr. Marcy Verduin. But for those of you who couldn't make it, the video is live on our website. You can go to the resources section and you can watch that. And also, we unveiled our L2L book, and that is also live in the resources section. And I believe we also emailed you the summit as well. So please listen to that, watch it, and familiarize yourself with that stuff because it was very helpful. And I want to encourage all of us to just keep getting better as leaders and disciple makers, because at the end of the day, that's what God, I think, is calling us to be and do. Well, amen.
Amen.
We're continuing our series, Encounters, and we're looking at the encounter that Peter had with Jesus after Jesus' resurrection. If you remember the story, Peter failed miserably, publicly denying him when he said he never would deny Jesus. Three times he denied him, and he probably felt terrible after. In fact, I think the text tells us that he, you know, was out in despair. And can you imagine how Peter must have felt when Jesus showed up?
Like, he wept bitterly.
Right? That's right. I know. I mean, I don't remember the last time I wept bitterly. But he must have felt horrible, like a massive failure. But yet, the way that Jesus treated him, I think, is very instructive to all of us, because we think Jesus would be so disappointed. Mm-hmm. He's so upset at us when we fail. But instead, we find him filled with grace, filled with love, wanting to restore Peter, and in fact, calling him to the great mission. He doesn't even bring up the failure. You know what I mean? I might have been like, so what, Peter? What the heck was that all about? Mm-hmm. You know, can we talk about your cursing and swearing and denying me? You know what I mean? I might have wanted him to feel bad just to see the response and make sure he's really sorry. But Jesus doesn't do that. He does something very different and restores him and calls him to ministry. And I think that that's a picture for all of us, that when we fail, Jesus isn't, you know, snubbing his nose at you or wagging his finger. Like, he wants to restore us and call us to a great purpose and destiny. Just three thoughts here in the discussion guide and in our weekend sermon was, Jesus comes to heal and restore us when we fall. I think that's so important. I know so many people that when they mess up, they want to run away from God because they think he's so mad at them or so disappointed. But in contrast, Jesus comes to us. He came to Peter, and he wanted to restore him. The second thing is, Jesus wants our focus to be on him, not our failures.
Huge.
Right? Jesus three times just called him, do you love me? Do you love me, right? And that's to counteract Peter's three-time denial. Jesus calls him to reaffirm his faith three times, and it's just a focus on Jesus, not the failure. Again, I would have said, Peter, so what happened that first time? Mm-hmm. Can you explain that to me? Why'd you do it the second time? I want to see if you're really sorry. And then you did it the third time. I don't know if you learned your lesson, right? Come on, parents, we all do that with our kids. Do you really learn your lesson? But Jesus does something so different. He wants our focus to be on him. And then lastly, Jesus can turn our failures into fuel for our future, and he immediately calls him to go and make disciples again. And so I think there's so much there for us to discuss, and all of us have experienced failures. Everyone in our groups have made mistakes. Mm-hmm. How can we apply this into our lives so that we can better follow Jesus? So as you reflect on the main thought scriptures in the weekend sermon, what is the Lord highlighting to you and why? Chad, you want to lead us off?
Yeah, I think that second point is a great encouragement to us as disciples, but also as group leaders and how to do group. Because I realize when we talk about failures, we can spend a lot of time talking about our failures and we'll say, oh yeah, you know, I'm over it, I'm okay. But we get to the part when it's about Jesus and we go, and he redeems
me. That's a great point.
Right? And so the small group, I think, is an opportunity for us to really kind of go there when talking about how Jesus redeems our failures, what he really did, rather than putting the focus on the failure and put the focus on Jesus. I think that's huge. And then how he can turn our failures into fuel for our future and the redemptive characteristic of God, and have them at this time think about how God is taking that moment and redeeming it. And so
that's such a great point, you know, because it's true, you know, like even like with me, like when I've made a mistake or whatever, I just think about my mistake. Mm-hmm. I dwell on it. Why did I do that? How could I be so stupid? Or how could I not know? You know what I mean? And you just go down the rabbit hole of all of my failures or my, you know, lack, right? But but Peter, you know, Jesus didn't do that to him. He just called him back to focusing on me. And sometimes when we're discipling people, or we're in a small group, like we just dwell on the failure. Yes. But I love what you said. It's redirecting them to focus on Jesus, right? Just get more of Jesus in your life.
Yes.
And then get on mission and get doing what God's called you to do. That's a really great point, Chad. You know, I think for me, the other thing that really stands out is just how Jesus came to him in his failure. You know, you almost get the sense that Peter was running away, you know, that he didn't want to see Jesus. He didn't want to face it. Mm-hmm. And I can understand because I'm thinking, dude, he's going to be so mad. Yep. You know what I mean? I denied the Son of God when he needed me the most by cursing and swearing. I embarrassed him. I embarrassed myself. And the last thing I want to do is see him,
my face.
Especially now that I know he's God. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, God must be so upset at me, you know? And but Jesus came to him, like he sought him out. And I think there's going to be people in our groups that feel that way, that I've disappointed God, I've made so many mistakes, you know, I've got all this guilt, but Jesus comes to restore and he seeks us out. And I think that's such a huge point.
And I think it's an opportunity for us to embody the characteristic of Jesus in this conversation. I want to encourage us not to react because someone might share a failure.
And, that's great, Chad.
You know, our body language or a face we might make might communicate something that's opposite of how Jesus responded to Peter.
That's so good. You know what, then that leads us to our second point, and let's talk about that a little bit more. Share a failure in your life. How do you think Jesus sees that failure? What emotions did you experience then, and what insights did you gain from that situation? I love what Pastor Keith Tower says. You get good at having a good poker face, right? He came, I think he shared that in the parenting seminar, but the point is have a good poker face. When someone shares something, and Dr. Marcy said this in one of our sessions this past week, is don't act like that's the first time you've ever heard it. You know what I mean? Because someone's going to share, probably in this situation, we hope that they will, some massive failure that they've been maybe never told anyone in their lives, right? That's what we want, because that's the only way healing happens, right? Is for them to share. And if we were sitting there all shocked, like, oh my God, you're the only person I've ever heard that did that. You know, I've never heard of such a failure. Oh my, like that's just going to like do the exact opposite, right? But have a good poker face. Maybe like, you know, and be as empathetic and loving. I love what psychologists teach is unconditional positive regard. You know, that's the idea that no matter what you share, I'm going to give you positivity and regard you with love. And that seems like that's what Jesus did here.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he knew Peter's failures, but he gave him this unconditional positive regard in that moment. And we need to do that. I love what you said, Chad. We got to embody that.
Yes.
Because we want people to feel safe to process whatever they've gone through. Any other thoughts on that?
No. I mean, I think on our end as leaders, I think, you know, we have an opportunity to set the tone in this kind of conversation, especially as it pertains to the second question when we share our failures. Because we could share a failure. Oh, I forgot to pay a bill. You know, it could be very surface level. But I think leaders, as we go first and we share something that God really moved upon our hearts and changed us, it would cause people to think. And when they go a little bit deeper, I mean, you guys have been in small groups where it's a surfacey sometimes. Yeah, but when someone really
goes there, I didn't
read my
Bible last week. Yeah,
right.
You know, I didn't pray for an hour every day.
Yeah, and this is where the transformation and the healing really happens when we allow Jesus in, talk about it in a safe environment with our small groups.
That's good. And so, you know, creating that safe environment, right, giving that positive regard, having that poker face, and then we can ask those questions, right? How do you think Jesus sees that failure? You know, and hopefully from reading the text, they go, I think he wants to restore me. You know, if they say something like, I think he's so disappointed in me, I mean, we can redirect that and say, I don't know if that's what the text says here. Let's look, read the passages again.
Yeah, one of the things that Dr. Marcy taught us at our staff meeting on Wednesday was how to take that thought and see what the Bible says about it. And this might be a good opportunity in your small groups for us to go into our Bibles and someone sharing about a specific kind of failure, to go in and see what the Word says about it.
It's good. Really good. You know, and then further processing, what emotions did you experience and what insights did you gain and learn? Just helping people to process those failures, those mistakes that they made, and then making them feel loved, even though they may feel terrible on the other side of it. And then the third question, you know, what would you pursue in faith if you knew you couldn't fail? That's a very interesting question, right? If you knew God would have loved you anyway, what calling do you think he'd call you to pursue? What obstacles are preventing you from fully trusting Jesus in that area? I think that's so interesting because it seems like Peter was about to walk away from his calling.
Yeah.
Right? Like he wanted to make disciples. He wanted to change the world for Christ. And then now he's kind of running away from that. And Jesus calls him back into it. And I think sometimes because of our failures or our perceived failures, maybe we run away from the calling of God. Any thoughts there, Chad?
Yeah, I think it's important to note it says pursue in faith. Because, you know, we want to hear what people are dreaming about, the visions that they have, you know, but we want to make sure it's also aligned with the discipleship and the mission that God calls us to as disciples. And, you know, some people might say, oh, I want to be the richest person ever, you know, and that's probably not what God wants us to pursue in faith. And so I would encourage us to kind of stay focused in this area, keep it about Jesus, keep it about the mission, but also open your ears because something that Coach used to ask all the time. Is what is your dream? And I remember when he asked me that question, it kind of opened up my, it brought down the barriers. It opened up my heart a little bit to know, oh, this person wants to know what I'm dreaming about. That's I think this is an opportunity to hear the dreams and vision of our people.
That's really good. You know, leaders, you could even add that in this point right here. You know, what is your dream? If you didn't have any fear or fear of failure, what would you endeavor to do? Because somewhere in that, I mean, sometimes it's a selfish dream, but sometimes God put it in there. You know what I mean?
There's
a,
that way.
That's right. Yeah. He made you that way. He wired you that way to pursue that thing. But the fear of failure, maybe because you failed before, you got in trouble before, or it didn't work out, maybe stopping you, and maybe God's trying to rebirth that dream. I love that. And so even going back to Peter, right? I mean, he wanted to go make disciples. So when Jesus said, feed my sheep, it wasn't like a penance thing. You failed, so now go do this, right? It was like, no, that's what I wanted. Peter wanted to do in the first place, but he felt like he was such a failure. And Jesus said, no, I don't see you as a failure. I see you as that world changer that you wanted to be in the first place, so I'm restoring you to that. And this could be a great opportunity for us to call people back into their destiny, to dream again, to believe again, even though they may have failed in the past. So good. And then let's make sure that we make time to pray at the end. Pray for one another to move forward despite our failures. And maybe just praying over that dream.
Yeah, praying over that dream.
Right?
And this is, I think, a good moment. I mean, sometimes I know we, you know, we see break into pairs and pray. And then we go, oh, let's just pray together. I think this would be a good opportunity to pair up together. Because you could really bathe it in prayer.
That's great.
And people can go there. And so I want to encourage you leaders, us leaders, to really break into pairs at this time for prayer.
That's right. So we can really go there in prayer. I like that. And then pray for opportunities to share our faith. Because maybe one of the things that we'd pursue in faith if we knew we couldn't fail is sharing the gospel with somebody. The fear of failure, the fear of striking out, the fear of offending someone maybe stops us. But let's pray for opportunities to do that, knowing that God is with us and he sees us. Amen.
Amen.
And I love our memory verse challenge here at the end from Philippians chapter 3. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I think that's a great word for us to press on. Forget the failures, forget the past, let's move on. Now we need to learn from them, and if there's things we got to make right, let's make sure we do that. We don't bury the past, but we don't let it weigh us down either. We move on to pursue the high calling of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Well, thank you, leaders. You guys are amazing. Thank you again for being at our summit. And again, if you missed the summit, you can go ahead and watch that online through our app, on the resources tab or on our website, and let's continue to get better at making disciples because it's what Jesus calls his church to do, and we're excited to partner along together to make a difference in this world. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, have a great week, leaders. We'll see you in small group, and we'll see you as we continue our series this weekend. God bless you. We love you. Have a great one.